So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
Is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
Lord, we are so thankful, Father, for what you have done here. We're so thankful, Lord, for this book that we, these letters that we get a chance, Lord, to look into, to hear from this man who had been through, who had seen you face to face, Lord, for his tenaciousness to get this letter out and make sure that the people knew what to expect. Lord, you've told us that you've told us these things beforehand so that when they come upon us, we're not taken by them. And so, Lord, I thank you that you don't leave us comfortless, but that you send your Holy Spirit as our comforter, as our strength, as our encourager. And Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for these ladies that take time out of a very busy schedule. I know every one of them have a very busy schedule, and they take time, Lord, to hear your word and to fellowship with one another. And Lord, I don't want anything that I say to not be of you. And Father, I just pray for an anointing. I pray, Father, for just a sensitivity to your voice, Lord, and for a recognition that you are here amongst us, that we would be very aware that your Holy Spirit is here. It's here right now. He is here right now, and I thank you, Lord, for that, and I bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Second Peter, we get into it, and you know that First Peter dealt with problems from the outside. Second Peter is going to deal with the problems that are on the inside. It was a message that was his final message from Peter. He wrote it in view of his soon-to-take-place martyrdom. You know that he was the one who, when Jesus told him, and it's in our text, Jesus told him that there was going to come a time that they're going to take you someplace where you don't want to go. And he knew at that particular time exactly what was going to happen. So he's telling the people that they would have to have a real confidence in God and in his word if they were going to be able to face the conditions that were about to take place. He's setting them up for the things that are ahead of them. He's talked about in 1 Peter, we went right from talking about the attacks from the outside to talking about the attacks from the inside. What are you talking about? In the church? Are you kidding me? There are going to be people in the church that are going to do these things? Yes. And you look around, even today, it's still prevalent. This word still is true. Today, right inside the church, in the family of God. Does anybody else have anybody in their family that's a hard person in your family? That's what we're dealing with right here, are the hard people in God's family. And we need to be aware of it and how to deal with it and how to handle it. Peter will inform and remind the believers of the importance of growing in grace. Growing in grace. It's a very important thing. As we grow in the knowledge of Christ, we're given strength to stand against the evils that are threatening the church. Now, we expect those evils from the outside, like I said, but we don't expect them to come from the inside. I've recently listened to some people with the things that they're sharing, and I'm amazed at the things that people do within the church. So Simon Peter, verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant, he was a servant by choice, and an apostle. He was set that by God to set up the churches. And to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's talking to the same people that the first letter was written to, and that's indicated in chapter 3, verse 1. It's indicated that it's the same people that he was talking to before. before. And so grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, I know that Peter was a fisherman, and yet we keep seeing mathematical things coming up in what he has to say. Remember last week we talked about committing and how that was a mathematical, it was like a banking term and the deposits and so forth. And here we have grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. That grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Multiplied. May grace and peace be multiplied. May it be bigger than it's ever been. May it just extend further than it's ever extended. As you have the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. That knowledge of God is one of the most important things. There is an abundance of grace and peace available for all of us who rest in the simplicity of heart on the testimony that God has given. In the simplicity. We rest in the simplicity of the gospel. Verse 3, as his divine power has given us all things, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and by his virtue. As his divine power has given to us all things, we have everything that we need to accomplish whatever God's called us to do. It says right here that he has provided us all things that are necessary, all things that pertain to life and godliness, God-likeness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and by his virtue. He has called us by his glory and by his virtue. He has called us to life and godliness, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, lust is not just a sexual issue. Lust is anything that you're desiring after that is not of the Lord. If you're lusting after something besides the Lord, I would want to lust after the Lord. Okay? Does that make sense to anybody else? Or am I just rambling here? Yeah, I think I am. But we're partakers of the divine nature. He has given us precious promises. Let's hang on to those precious promises that God has given us. What is that precious promise that God has spoken to you particularly? What has he spoken to you particularly? Of all the promises in the Word, what has he spoken to you particularly that you have written somewhere and you go back to it every once in a while and you just look at it and you say, God, I thank you that I can hang on to that promise that you've given me. What is that promise that you have? The promise is here that we would be partakers of his divine nature. That we would be a partaker of his divine nature, that we would have that like-mindedness, that our lives would follow in the same vein that he has told us earlier, that we should follow after him. But also, for this very reason, we are to give all diligence. We are to give all diligence. And here we are again at a mathematical term. We are to add the simple part of it. Adding is one of the basic things of math, isn't it? It's the very first thing that you learn. You learn to add before you learn to subtract, right? Am I right on that? Am I right? Homeschool teachers, I don't know. It's been a long time. But that very simply, we are to add to something. We are to be diligent about adding something here. And we are to, I was likening it to adding to a savings account. And I look at this and I, having all diligence to do it, you know, those who have taken the Dave Ramsey course and they follow those directions and how to save money and how to pay things off and so forth. This is kind of a Dave Ramsey thing, that we have a basic savings account, and that basic savings account is faith. We start out with that basic savings account, faith. And then we add to that savings account virtue. This virtue is a word that is actually translated valor, which is the outstanding virtue of a soldier. We're called to be soldiers for Christ. So it's valor rather than virtue, so that strength that we have in there. So when we add to that virtue, we add knowledge. There can be no proper growth without a deepened understanding of spiritual realities. We cannot grow, we cannot get the interest on that virtue if we do not have the knowledge in there also added to it. And to that knowledge, we are to add self-control. Can we talk? I mean, what is the deal with us? What is the deal? Self-control. We get swayed by every little temptation that comes along. And God calls us to deposit self-control into our savings account. Deposit that self-control into that savings account. And to self-control, we're going to add perseverance. Perseverance is patience, that which enables us to endure without complaining. We have guests at our house right now. They just came in last night. And last week, didn't we talk about, you know, being hospitable without complaining? I'm not complaining. It's just a busy time. And here we have that patience. Now we're told to add patience into that mix. And so we have patience, even though there are circumstances that are not to our liking, not what we would choose. Sometimes we can have that kind of patience that we're able to endure even when those circumstances are really yucky. And that, I'm not talking about people staying at my house at this point. Just, I want you to know that. When things are really hard and really tough, and we are able to endure them, not just endure them, but have interest added to us, to our savings account, because of the patience that are in our lives at that time. And to that patience, we are to add godliness, which is really God-likeness. Don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to have his heart? Don't you want to have his mind? Don't you want to have something in you that is so a part of him that when people look at you, they say, how do you do it? And you are able to say, it's all about Jesus. It's what he has done in my life. It's who he is. I can handle this because of Christ. It gives you an opportunity to minister to people. And then to godliness, we are to invest and to deposit brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Kindness. Brotherly kindness. As I have been amazed through the years how Christians think that it's okay. No one in here. I'm just talking about, you know, some things that I've seen in the past, other places. But how Christians feel so free to not show that kindness to people in the body, but they'll show it to people outside of the body. You know how it is, kind of like in your house. It's really easy to not be as kind to people that are in your house because you see them all the time. It's a lot easier to be really kind to people who are outside of the house, isn't it? And yet God calls us to be kind to those who are inside our house first, so that it extends to the outside. And to that brotherly kindness, here you have arrived now in your savings account. To that brotherly kindness, there's a love. Love that is added to it. This is the fullness of faith. Paul told us that faith expresses itself through love, Galatians 5:6. And if these qualities are found in a believer, they should be there in abundance. For these things, if these things, of course you have circled if, for if these things are yours and abound, you have an abundance of them, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful. You will neither be idle or inactive. Idle or inactive. If these things abound in you, you will neither be idle nor inactive. You will be fruitful. You'll be full of fruit because you are abounding in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him like he knows you? Do you know him? Have you taken that time to have intimate time with the Lord? You must have that intimate time with the Lord, that prayer time, that Bible time, that time when it's just you and him. It's not a big prayer meeting. It's not a bunch of people together. It's just you and God. Have you taken the time to know him, to really know him? For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, unable to discern spiritual things, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins, forgotten of what God has done for him. If we do not abound in these things, if we do not abound in this list that we've put into our savings account, if we are not abounding in, if we're not at least working on them, remember I talked to you about not being able to teach anything that I'm not at least working at? Well, I've been working at this week, on all of this list. Work at these things and have them abound in your life to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because if we don't have them, we get blind. We have a blindness. A blindness sets in, and we just go back to the things that we used to do, to the thought patterns we used to be in, to maybe even physical things that we used to do. And God has called us to something more. He said to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we will have fellowship one with another. We want to have that fellowship one with another as we draw close to him. We don't want to be in those old sins. We don't want to forget what God did. Bill shared recently, last week actually, as he was walking through the building, and all of a sudden it just came on him. The Holy Spirit just came on him, and he just was so thankful that he was saved. Just, have you had those moments where you just realized God cleansed me from my sins? It was God that did it. God cleansed me, and he gave me the strength to walk through this life. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Be prepared. Again, be diligent. Be prepared. Be encouraged. Be diligent. Be aware. Work at it to make your call and election sure. Are you called? Yes. Are you elected? Yes, you are, because you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are called, you are elected. Make it sure so that if you do these things, you will never stumble. You won't find yourself in a place of doubt. You won't find yourself in a place of practicing sin. You won't find yourself in a place of practicing sin. The more you know him, the less you are any good at sinning, because you stop practicing it. And so be even more diligent to make your call and election sure by these things, so that if you do these things, you will not have that doubt and you will not continue to practice sin, but you will practice those things that grow you up. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There, Jesus Christ came for all. He came for all. The door is open to all. The kingdom is open to all. An entrance will be supplied for you, to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for this reason, verse 12, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. This indicates that he was not talking to young Christians here. He was talking to Christians who have been walking with the Lord for some time. He says that you know and are established in the present truth. You know these things. You know them. So I am going to remind you of them. How many of us in here hate to be reminded of stuff? I need to be reminded of things. I need to be called to the carpet sometimes. I need to have someone say, Could we talk on issues that come up? He goes on to say in verse 13, yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm here, as long as I'm here, to stir you up by reminding you, and knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, that is my body, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. And that's what we talked about earlier, about the Lord showing them it was going to be time and how he was going to die. And he stood there and said, what about these guys? How come they don't have to go that way? You don't worry about those guys. You worry about this guy. Worry about this one. But he says that I'm going to be going away from here, and I don't mind stirring you up and reminding you of these things that you need to do. Repetition is the key to learning. I love that Elizabeth J., as they were cleaning out her things after she went to be with the Lord, they were cleaning out her things, and they found all over in everything scriptures. Scriptures everywhere. She did not mind reminding people of what the Word of God had to say. She didn't mind doing that. I have scriptures throughout, and I have even more now since I was told about Elizabeth, but those things that people are going to find after you leave, those little notes that you've written, we are going to leave here, ladies, and we know that. There's going to come a time when we're going to leave. What are we going to leave behind? We're going to leave behind some memories, but what are we going to leave behind that is substantial for someone to continue to grow? Because it's not all about me. It's about what I can do for the kingdom's sake. Knowing that he would shortly leave this his body and go to be with the Lord. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. This word decease is actually translated exodus. After my exodus, I'm leaving Egypt and I'm going to the promised land. So after I have gone from Egypt into the promised land, I want you to be assured that there is something left behind for you to glean from, for you to be reminded of. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we were made known, when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses. And yet we are told that we are more blessed for our faith because we haven't seen him. We are more blessed than Peter was because he did see them. But he was there and he saw him and he reacted in a certain way. And I would probably react the same way that he did when I was standing there. But he was an eyewitness and he shares with us, this is not just something I came up with. This is not just something I've heard and I'm passing it on. I was an eyewitness and I'm telling you exactly what it was like. And it's just like us telling our testimony when we found the Lord, when we found the Lord in our lives and finally we see him for who he is. That's exactly what Peter's saying. This is my testimony, Peter says. My testimony is of the Lord, what I saw in him and what changed my life. For he received from God the Father, speaking of Jesus, honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, that is God the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard his voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain, when we were on the Mount of Transfiguration, when we were there, when we saw these things happening. I heard God say. Now, how many times have you said, oh, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said this. It seems to me that it appears to me that Peter was saying, I heard the Father say. I heard God say. It wasn't, I heard this in my heart. It wasn't, have you ever heard God speak to you in that way? There's been one time in my life that was, I swear it was audible, that the Lord spoke to me. And this, Peter is able to express to us, I was there. I heard God speak. Remember when Moses said, he said, show me your glory. And what happened? God said, I will pass by and you'll see the trail of my glory. Peter gives an indication that he's seen the glory of God that would be revealed to us. Peter saw the glory of God. right there and heard from God the Father. And he wants to express that to us. Wow. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. It was confirmed, which you do well to heed. You do well to pay attention to it as a light that shines in a dark place. This prophetic voice, as we look at the world that we live in today, that prophetic voice has to be a light in the dark place that we're in right now. I just heard on the news this morning, and I've been praying for the Malaysia flight, as I know you guys have, and I was thinking about those two passports, the man who is 19 and the one that was 29. And on this, they had left Iran on their own passports, but they were leaving Malaysia on two stolen passports. And at least the 19-year-old, what they were saying today, was at least the 19-year-old was seeking asylum. And I remember thinking, I'm wondering if these two men were trying to get away. I don't think that they were terrorists. I don't know what happened to that jet. I don't know where that is any more than anybody else does. God knows, and we continue to pray, but why did I bring that up? That they wanted something more, and they were willing to do whatever it took to get that something more. So for us to be a light that shines in a dark place, in the world that we live in, this dark place that we live in, what are we willing to do to shine the light of God in this dark place that we live in today? What are we willing to do? We have all of the records. We have the prophetic utterances. We have them written down for us in the Old Testament. We have them that we can read. We have all these things that tell us exactly what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, not the timing, because what happens when we know exactly what the timing is? Just like when we were kids, and I'll be home. Mom says, I'll be home by 3 o'clock. What time do you start cleaning? 2:30. You've been home all day. But, mom's coming home at 3 o'clock, and that's what we would do. If the Lord told us exactly when he was coming for us, you know that whole issue of Jesus coming for his bride is that whole issue of recorded in the Old Testament is how the father, the son was not allowed to get his bride until the father said so. And so the bride never knew when that wedding was going to take place. Only when the father says, okay, it's time. And then the groom goes to get his bride. That's where we're at right now. And can you see Jesus standing at the door? Can I go now? Can I go now? Can I get him yet? Dad, what do you think? Can I go? Are they ready? Is the bride ready? Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready for our groom to come and take us? Are we clothed in that righteousness that he's given us? Are we ready to go? Do we have everything in order in our life where we so long to see him? Do you so long to see him? We, as women, have something that we can hold on to even more, I think, than the guys do. I don't know that the guys really grasp this idea of being a bride. I just don't know that they really grasp it. But we know it, what it's like. We know what it is to look forward to that precious man that God gives us. And I don't know, maybe some of you are single in here, you go, I don't want no precious man. But you do want Jesus. Because he is the most precious of all men. And he will love you like no one has ever loved you before. He does love you like no one will ever love you. He has the light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, till it comes to life in you, till he comes for you, till your groom comes for you, and that light so shines in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, it was all explained. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. Now, I know that there are some that would teach that you don't go to the Bible. You couldn't possibly understand the Bible, so you don't read the Bible. I will tell you what the Bible says. And I know that there is a group that feels that way. But this scripture says that it's not of one man's interpretation, but it is in the interpretation of the Holy Spirit. And as you are studying, as you are in the Word on your own, God can reveal to you the things of His Word just as good as anybody else. There's no one, there's nothing special about me being here or about Pastor Bill being in front. We are told to sit under someone's teaching and grow and then take those things and use them for others. But it's not to a single interpretation. And so God is going to reveal to us those things that He has to say. I'm thankful for this portion of our text. I'm thankful to be able to add to all of these things and come out with love. I want to live my life in a way that brings glory to God and makes us all realize what this prophecy is all about. And so, Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And I pray, God, that You would continue to use Your Word, Lord, to speak to our hearts. That You would cleanse anything in us, Lord, that has in any way kept us from moving on with You, Lord. Father, that we wouldn't be fooled into believing that we can practice this thing and not be burned by it, whatever it is, Lord. Father, we pray that You would convict our hearts, that You would search us and try us and know our hearts and see if there be any wicked way within us, Lord. And then would You reveal it to us and allow us, Lord, thank You for allowing us to repent. Give us the strength to turn our backs on it and to walk the way that You have provided for us, Lord. Search my heart, look deep within my soul. See if there be anything at all that might keep me from hearing You, keep me from knowing You, keep me from loving You, O Lord. Fill us today, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh with Your Holy Spirit. And help us to listen closely to what You have to say. I thank You, Lord, for these ladies who, in their small groups, Father, commit themselves to one another. They entrust their lives to one another. They love one another. And Father, I pray that as they pray and care for one another, Lord, that the scripture would be so open to them and that You would be glorified in the midst of it, Lord. I thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up, oh stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.